Last night we studied chapter 21. Chapter 21 is the wrath of God. And the first part, 1 to 17, talk about a soul was strong. And that soul was used by God to punish the Jerusalem, the chosen people. And that soul actually referring to a country. According to chapter 21, verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 18. But I said to their children in the wilderness, 21. Huh? Verse 19, and the Son of Man, appoint for yourself to wait for the sword of the king of Babylon to go. So actually God used Babylon as his sword to punish the Israelite. So we know that not only a person can be used by God as a vessel, but also a country can be used by God as a vessel to achieve his own purpose. Even Babylon was worse than the chosen people. Babylon worshiped idol even more than that. More wicked one. So in the prophet of Habakkuk, you know there's a minor prophet of Habakkuk. The prophet understood that God is going to use Babylon to punish his chosen people. So he was quite puzzled. How come God used the more wicked one to punish the less wicked one? Where is God's justice? Right? Usually we use the less wicked one to punish the more wicked one. That should be reasonable. But God used Babylon, the one who worshiped idol, to punish God's people. So Habakkuk was quite puzzled about this point. So he questioned to God. And then God revealed that, yes, Israel have sinned, so God has to deal with sin. So God used Babylon. But Babylon had more sin, so later on God is going to deal with Babylon separately. So each country have to be responsible to their sin. Even a person as a country being used by God as a vessel. So if the question is, can God use an unrighteous person to become his vessel? Is yes or no? Yes. Can God use a country worship idol as his vessel? Yes or no? Yes. When God used that country as a vessel, that doesn't mean God will not hold them accountable. That doesn't mean their weakness will not be revenged. So this is chapter 21. We can learn from that. So the sword of God is Babylon. From verse 18 to 22. To 32. We are not going to the detail because the more important is just we know the main point, the highlight. Now we come to chapter 22. So chapter 21 is talk about the wrath of God and use Babylon as his soul to punish the Israelite. We come back to chapter 21, verse 26. Thus says the Lord your God, remove the turban and take off the crown. Nothing shall remain the same. Exalt the humble, and humble be exalted. Verse 27, overthrown, I will make it overthrown, and it shall be no longer until he comes whose right it is, and I will give it to him. It's the prophecy that the Israelite is going to be overthrown, be destroyed. Chapter 22, the sin of Jerusalem. Verse 1 to verse 12, this out all the sin the city of Jerusalem had committed. And then from 13 to 22, since they have sinned, right? Sin is some kind of dirty, filthy, smelly. So God had to cleanse and refine the city. Now look, let's talk into the manifestation of sin first. Of course, the first sin is we mentioned so many times, right? They worship the idol, verse 3, the little part, and make idol within herself to defile himself. So in front of God, idol will defile ourselves spiritually. So verse 4, you have become guilty by the blood which you have shed and defile yourself with the idol which you have made. You have caused your days to draw near and have come to the end of your years. Because of this, the day of retribution is coming. Now, verse 7, it talks about the sin in morality. The previous verse talk about the sin in spiritual aspect. From verse 7 onwards, talk about the sin from the moral aspect. Especially verse 7. In you they have made light of father and mother. And in your midst they have appraised the stranger. And in you they have mistreated the fatherless and the widow. So you look into the chapter 7, there are three kinds of sin. Usually we don't pay too much attention about it, right? If we don't honor our father and mother, in the eyes of God, it's sin. Even in the society, it seems nothing, right? Seldomly people mention about honor the parents. And the next one is sojourner. The stranger. Sojourner. In today's term in United States, what? Those who are illegal alien, right? Immigrant. Have no social status. So a lot of people hire the people who have no legal status and pay them the wage under the minimum wage, legal minimum wage. Why? Because you are illegal. So when I pay you the wage under the minimum wage, you dare not to report to the police. So some of the companies, they just use it like this human weakness and to mistreat the stranger. But in the eyes of God, this is not good at all. So if one day you become a boss, you hire the so-called your legal immigrant, and you pay less than the market price, then in the eyes of God, we are not justice. We are unjust. We have sinned. And in you, they mistreated the fatherless and the widow. The fatherless means orphan. They lose the parents. And widow means they lose the husband. Oh. So God sympathizes the widow and the orphan. If they don't treat them good, then they have sin. Oh. And continue to mention a lot of all different kinds of sins. Oh. Sexual immorality, and sin related to bribe, verse 12. They have taken bribe to shed blood. You take usury, right? High interest rate and increase. So if we engage this kind of business, then we have sin. Some people are in urgent need, right? I was in South Africa or South America. You know, a lot of people, they come from China to there, and they have to appropriate 15,000 or even 70,000 to pay some particular person. So they make a special arrangement. They can go to South Africa or other country. But they have no money. What can they do? They have to borrow the money from relative or from particular person. But the interest rate is so high, you cannot imagine. Some interest rate is 10%. Or some interest rate is 15%. Do you know right now you deposit money in the bank, what is the interest rate? Not even to 1%, you know. Not even to 1%. So if we utilize that other people in emergency need to use the money, we utilize that opportunity, you lend the money to the person, you charge it higher than the market rate, then it's sin, according to the Bible. So what you mentioned about this is one day, when you right now you're a student, right? One day you become financially become better shape. You have to understand what to do to be a righteous person. So all of these are social, what? Injustice. There's no justice in society. That means that society has sin. So if everyone practice the teaching of the Bible, the principle of the Bible, the society will have no problem, you know. If everyone practice Ten Commandments and the social justice according to the Bible, who will be out of job first? Brother, if everyone do according to the teaching of the Bible, which job will be the most difficult to find a job? Which profession? Huh? Police officer? Okay. Any other else? Any other else? Another career, probably some of you are pursuing. Lawyer. And a lot of lawyers have no case to file. But actually, a lawyer, you can be good, it can be bad. You know, if you become a company lawyer, you only write opinion, prepare document for your company, that's probably not too bad. But if you get involved with a criminal case or another case, A lot of times. You can twist the case and prolong the case. You can charge something extra more, right? So some of the career needs extra faith. Of course, all different career, as long as it is legal, is fine, right? But not all the different kind of career, spiritually speaking, are good for our faith. You can do it, but you need to have more faith. A lawyer is one of them, right? If you can maintain a good conscience, very clear conscience, of course, it's fine. But it has great temptation there. There are a few other careers, right? Really has a lot of temptation. So this is a social injustice. Verse 13, chapter 22, verse 13. Behold, therefore, forbid my feast at the dishonest profit which you have made, at the bloodshed which has been seen in your midst. Okay, so because all of these sins, verse 14, can your heart endure or can your hand remain strong in the days when I shall deal with you? So God is going to deal with your wrongdoing, their sin. So chapter 22, verse 1 to 12, is talk about the manifestation of sin. And 13 to 22, God is going to refine them. God is going to cleanse them. How to refine them, how to cleanse this kind of social injustice, all the sins. Verse 15. And I will scatter you among the nations, disperse you throughout the countries, and remove your filthiness completely from you. So being captured to other countries, being dispersed throughout the world, and that's the way to cleanse up the sin of the Israelite. So even the country, if there's no social justice, a lot of sin, God is going to cleanse the country. So verse 17 onwards, how did God cleanse their sin? And God used a parable. You know, if you want to refine gold, iron, all different kind of metal, what is the proper way to refine it? You put it in a pot and you use a very strong fire, right? You burn it. When you continue to burn the different kind of metal, eventually the metal will become what? You know? You continue to burn the metal, eventually the metal will look like what? Like water, right? It will melt away. So when you burn the metal into that kind of state, all the filthy part in the metal will be burned out. So this is the process of refinement. So the pure gold have to be have go through a lot of process to refine to become 100% pure gold. Originally, they just take some of the like a sand contain gold from the mountain, and after the process, eventually become very pure. And this process get involved with fire. So in order to make the Israel become pure, they have to go through trial, tribulation, fire. So according to the book of Romans, why God put the suffering to us? Romans chapter 8. Chapter 5, from verse 3 to verse 4. Chapter 5, verse 3 to verse 4. And not only that, but you also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Verse 4, perseverance, character, and character, hope. So, suffering refined by fire will produce perseverance. Then, perseverance and character. So, that is the reason sometimes one of the suffering gone, another suffering coming. Some of suffering in your career, some suffer physically, some suffer mentally, some suffer from your children, some suffer from your parents, your family. Every different kind of things make us suffer. Why? There's one of the reasons is to make us to change our character. So from the biblical perspective, suffering is to change our character. So if we can
change ourselves without suffering, that will be the best.
But quite often, without suffering, people cannot be changed. So that is the reason in Ezekiel chapter 22, God is going to refine them just like a metal, put them in a container, and use a fire to burn them. And that fire means God's, suffering, captivity, and persecution from the other nation. So 18 to 13 to 22. And 23 to 31. He'll talk about even the priest, even the leader, they have sinned. They did not fulfill their duty. Now, verse 30. Let's see verse 30. Chapter 22, verse 30. So I saw a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, and I should not destroy it, but I find no one. Yesterday we mentioned, right? Stand before the breach. Who? According to the Bible, Psalm chapter 106. Who stood before the in the breach on behalf of Israelite? So God changed his mind and God did not destroy them. Who? Moses, right? Oh, Israel commits sin, right? God originally wanted to destroy them. But Moses, one person, kneel down and pray for how many days? 40 days without eating and drinking, right? Originally, God wanted to destroy them, but Moses prayed with love. Oh, and pray with what? Pleading to God. If God, you destroy them, where is your faithfulness? If you destroy them, where is the glory? Right? Oh, for the name of your, the glory of your name and your faithfulness, please forgive them. 40 days. After the prayer, God forgive the Israelite. And that prayer was so crucial. If Moses feel, I'm very hungry, I don't want to pray anymore. When he stopped prayer, that all the Israel would be perished. No. Right? So this is called so-called stand in the breach on behalf of the Israel. So I believe in your family, probably some of your family, you are the strongest one, spiritually speaking. Some of your family are very weak. Everybody are very weak. You become the strongest one. Now, you become the strongest one, then what should you do? You should be the one who stands up in the breach on behalf of your family. Keep on pleading and pleading, pleading. Oh, for your father, for your mother, for your sibling. Oh, if you stand in the breach pleading for your family, because of your love, because of your faith, and because of your prayer, God is going to listen and forgive your family's sin and listen and bring your family back to the Lord. Do you know you can do something? Right? You can do something. Because God loves you. If you really have faith, if you are willing to sacrifice and pray and fast in prayer, you can change your family. You can change your sibling. You can change your parents. So don't think about, I'm nothing. I'm only a very young one. I cannot do anything. God can do everything. If we have the heart to pray for them, God can do everything. So when we learn the teaching of Ezekiel, we are not only learning history. We are learning the history of the chosen people, try to think about some spiritual teaching and try to apply the spiritual teaching in our own life, in our own family, in our own church. So God was not able to find a person who's can stand in the breach. So God destroyed that nation. So it's very important to
today we have to, when we see the church has problem, when we see the church has problem, the best way is let's pray for the church. Stand in the breach for the church. It's far better than we do nothing and only complain.
Right.
Now we come back to next chapter, chapter 23. Chapter 23, you'll see the point 6 of teaching material A5. Chapter 23 talk about two women who commit adultery. And the chapter 23 give a very explicit description of their unfaithfulness to God, the way they commit fornication or adultery. So the whole chapter seems it's talking about a woman committing adultery. But we know that adultery in a sense of spiritual perspective. So chapter 23, verse 1 to verse 35 is talk about unfaithfulness to God. And talk about two cities. What are the two cities? Verse 4. 23, verse 4. Their name, Ohala, the elder, and Oholiabah, her sister. And they were mine. These two sisters were mine. Or mine, they belong to God. And what do these two sisters mean? Verse 4, the little part. And they born sons and daughters as for their names. Samaria is Ohala, and Jerusalem is Oholibah. So actually, these two sisters seems like two ladies, right? But actually, the two sisters are talking of Samaria and Jerusalem. And they commit adultery acts. Whom? Verse 5. Ohola played the harlot even though he was mine, and he lusted for her lover, the neighboring Assyrian. So another country, Assyria, who are close in purple, captains and ruler, all of them desirable young men. So actually talking about they have a connection with the foreign nation. And chapter 23, verse 19. Yet you multiplied your harlotry in calling to remembrance of the day of her youth, when she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. So they did not rely on God, and they rely on the military power of Egypt. In the eyes of God, they are what? Unfaithful to God, because they are supposed to be close to God and rely on God. So chapter 23, verse 1 to 35, talk about the action of their unfaithfulness. We are not going to detail one by one. So I'm continuing to describe until 35. Look in 31. You have walked in the way of your sister, therefore I will put her cup in your hand. This cup actually is the cup of God's wrath. You look in 32. Thus says the Lord God, you shall drink your sister's cup, The deep and wide one, you shall be laughed to scorn and held in derision. It contained much. 33. You are filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of horror and desolation, the cup of your sister Samaria. So it's talk about destruction, suffering. Because they are unfaithful to God, so they have to suffer from drinking the bitter cup of suffering, God's retribution. Now, 35. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have forgotten me and cast me behind your back, therefore you shall bear the penalty of your lewdness and your harlotry. So this even more clear indication that because they have forgotten God, so they will be punished. So all of these are related to our relation with God. When we receive the baptism, we make covenant with God. And this covenant will last forever. So if we are unfaithful to God, because God's love, so God will remind us one more time, after grace period finish, and God will use suffering to make us to come back to Him. So verse 36 to 49 is the retribution. The suffering is coming. So now we are not going to detail. Now we go to the last verse, verse 49. Chapter 23, verse 49. They shall repay you for your lewdness, and you shall pay for your adulterous sins, then you shall know I am the Lord God. When they suffer, they will know they are under the retribution of God. So how do we know there is God? One way is there is a law of retribution. So we know there is God. Right? If we do according to the teaching of the Bible, quite often you will receive blessing. If we do against the teaching of the Bible, quite often we'll be chastised by God. So from this experience, we know even God is invisible, but there is God. If there is no God, there is no retribution. If there is a retribution, there is a supernatural power who execute the law of retribution. And that supernatural power is God Himself. So this is chapter 23. Now we go to chapter 24. Chapter 24, the destruction of Jerusalem. Verse 1 to 14. Like a fired up pot. Like a pot, right? The fire was cooking under the pot. So, what does that mean? Verse 6. Therefore says the Lord, woe to the bloody city, to the pot whose scum is in it, and whose, how to read it? Scum? Is not gone far from it. Bring it out piece by piece, on which no lot has fallen. So eventually the fire is to remove the rust from the pot. And the rust represents the fearfulness of the city of Jerusalem. So this is chapter 24. Now we look into the second part of chapter 24. From verse 15 to 27, 15 to 27 is a true story. What happened? The wife of Ezekiel died. So to be a prophet, the servant of God, Ezekiel needs absolute submission without complaint. So verse 16.
Verse 16.
Son of man, behold, take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke, yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tear run down. Do you know? If a husband loses a wife, or the wife loses a husband, right? A married couple loses the other party and never cry because of what? If a married couple, right? One party of the married couple die and other party never cry because of what? Usually they will cry a lot, right? But if one party pass away, the other party never cry because of what? Probably because they fight often, right? They have quarrel, fighting, they don't love each other, right? So one party die, they say, oh, that's a release from the bondage of marriage. So they will never cry, right? Oh. But if they love each other, they love each other, when one party pass away, they'll feel so sad. They will cry a lot because they love each other. They feel indispensable to each other. Oh. Even they separate for a short period of time, they will miss each other. That's called good marriage. Right? If you get married and you separate, you never miss your spouse, then why do you get married? Right? So that is indication the marriage problem have problem. So when Ezekiel died, and God instructs Ezekiel, you should not mourn, you should not cry. Right? We look at this kind of instruction seems very inhuman, right? How come God is so inhuman, right? All right, now in verse 17, chapter 24, verse 17. Sigh in silence, make no mourning over the dead, bind your turban on your head, and put your sandal on your feet, do not cover your lips. Do not eat man's bread or sorrow. Oh. Okay. And verse 18. The next morning, I did evening, my wife died. In the morning, I did as I was commanded. Oh. So, from the death of the wife of Ezekiel, it tried to use this example to teach the people in Jerusalem a lesson. And what was the lesson they have to learn? Verse 21. Chapter 25, verse 24, verse 21. So speak to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord your God, behold, I will profane my sanctuary, your arrogant boat, the desire of your eyes, the desire of your soul, and your son and daughter, of whom you left behind, shall fall by the sword. All your beloved is going to be killed. Now, okay. So the death of the wife of Ezekiel is an example. Try to tell them what is going to happen in Jerusalem. God can remove their beloved one. So the sadness is so huge to a point they don't know what to do. So verse 24. Thus Ezekiel is a sign to you, according to all that he has done, you shall do. And when this comes, you shall know I am the Lord your God. So eventually, God used this to them, that them understand the one who make this happen is the Lord, their God. This is chapter 24. Destruction of Jerusalem. Use Ezekiel's wife's death to tell them what is coming. Now we look into the discussion question. What are the role and the significance of prophet play in the faith of the chosen people?
Chapter 13 we did mention, right? The first thing for a priest to do is convey the vision from God. The second is the prophet is to stand in the breach. Yeah. The wrongdoing, the sin, the priest has to intercede for them and convey God's message. But the priest in that time failed to do so. Question 2. Why did Noah, Daniel, and Job are only able to save themselves? Why? Because in that generation, there was no other righteous person in the eyes of God. So only these three persons can be saved by their own righteousness. In the city of Sodom, right? When Abraham pleading for the city of Sodom, if this city have how many righteous persons, are you going to destroy them? Start from the number of how many? He just finished study the book of Genesis, right? 50, right? Start from 50 and continue to reduce the number. What is the last number? 10 or 5? 10, right? Oh, so huge city even cannot find 10 righteous person, right? So doomed to the city of Sodom. Oh. Sometimes one of brother half joking, right? When you on taking the airplane, right? If there's a one righteous person, airplane will never what? Will never crash, right? So if you are the righteous person, because God's abidance, the whole airplane, even have difficulty, will never crash. Yeah, so God take care of the righteous person, right? Yeah, so wonderful it will be. So Noah, Daniel, and Job only can be saved. Why? Because of their righteousness. 3. Why did God give a different approach to the covenant than the chosen people? Think about the question. Number 4. God does not take pleasure in the death of anyone. Contrast his statement with God's slaying of numerous individual in the Old Testament in chapter 1. God takes no pleasure of death of anyone. How come God kills so many people? The reason is they fail to repent. They don't want to return. So God had no help, but could not help but to bring destruction to them. Okay. We continue another 2 after the break. Let's pray in silence. Amen. 20-minute break.